Today's scripture lesson comes from Acts 1, verse 8. Jesus was speaking. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Well, we are in week 3 of our sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And it is my hope that maybe for some of you, this series has challenged you to see the Holy Spirit maybe a little differently than you had before. It is my hope that you are seeing Him with a relational lens. Because we always talk about the importance of our relationship with Jesus and God the Father, but the topic of a relationship with God the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us, well, that isn't often talked about or emphasized. And I know this series might be a little uncomfortable for some. I mean, let's face it, whenever you are challenged with your preconceived notions or understandings, it can sometimes be a little uncomfortable. But for those who can keep an open mind and those who are honestly seeking a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, hold on, because we have two more messages in this series. And I have actually seen firsthand the Holy Spirit stirring in the hearts of people. And on November 24th, Carlia Morrison will be walking into the waters of baptism to confess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And anyone else feeling the Holy Spirit's call, please talk to me, because the baptismal will be filled. Now, today, we are going to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. And it has caused me to think about how sometimes we as people want to impress others with our strength and power. So we put on a show. Maybe we put up a front, and we hope that others won't actually figure out that we aren't as powerful as we want them to believe. And so, one of the things I have asked you to wrestle with in this series is this: if the Holy Spirit were to leave you, would you even notice? If the Holy Spirit were to leave this church, would anybody even notice? Now, I am not saying the Holy Spirit leaves a person who is a believer, and I'm not saying the Holy Spirit leaves a church filled with believers. I'm not saying this is the case. But what I want you to understand today is that people, believers, churches, if they are not careful, they can get to the point where they have tuned out the Holy Spirit. They are just going through the motions and don't even know they have lost this connection with the Holy Spirit and where He is trying to lead them. So essentially, for all intents and purposes, He's no longer there, even though He is. You see, where the issue lies is sometimes people choose not to listen to Him. I hope you see where I'm getting at here. My friends, what we see in the New Testament church is that they were completely dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't about putting on a show or a performance. It was about the power of the Holy Spirit. The great theologian A.W. Tozer put it this way. He said, "If the Holy Spirit had withdrawn from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would have stopped, and everybody would have noticed." And we want to be aware of the power of the Holy Spirit and His presence in our lives personally and as a church. We need to understand that what God has called us to be as followers of Jesus and what God has called us to do as a church is not possible without the power of the Holy Spirit and our willingness to be led and open to Him. We don't want to just put on a show or a performance. We want to be real. And one of the things I have mentioned repeatedly in this series is that we don't want to just learn about the Holy Spirit. We want to experience Him. We want to encounter Him. We want to experience His power in our lives. And just before Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus told His followers in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." The word power here comes from the Greek word dunamis. This is where we get our word dynamite from. So think of the Holy Spirit as this explosive power, this amazing strength. And you will see in the book of Acts, the power of the Holy Spirit is consistently tied to being a witness. That the power of the Holy Spirit does not overcome us for our own sake or for our own edification, but as a way to be a witness and a way to be a blessing to others. And so Jesus speaks of this Holy Spirit power that these followers in His church should be dependent upon. And when we try to be who He has called us to be, when we try to do what He has called us to do, when we try to do all of that without that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, well, it's like trying to cut down a forest with a pocket knife when there's a brand new chainsaw in the attic. Or it's like trying to row a boat across Lake Michigan when you have this huge sail on the deck that just needs to be hoisted. It just doesn't make any sense to live life like that. So your relationship challenge, or maybe your behavioral struggle, or maybe your addiction issue, or maybe your anxiety disorder, or whatever it is, the tendency in this world is to think that the way out of those struggles is to work harder, to muscle your way through it, to put emphasis on self-help. But what we know from Scripture is it is not about becoming more and more self-reliant. It is about becoming more and more Spirit-dependent. So we want to learn to be Spirit-dependent as followers of Jesus. Luke also describes this promise of Jesus in Luke 24, verse 49, when Jesus said the following, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city," hope you caught that, "until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven." Now I want you to notice something that often is overlooked from that verse. Jesus is telling them, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere until the Holy Spirit comes. You just wait here. He doesn't say to them, all right, go ahead, get started, and when the Holy Spirit comes, I'll tell them to get caught up with you. Holy Spirit, He doesn't say that. He says, don't do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. Imagine being there. The followers of Jesus are excited, right? I mean, their fear has been replaced with faith because Jesus has risen from the dead, and they now get to be part of this great mission. They get to be part of advancing his kingdom. They're like, so Jesus, what is our first assignment? What is our first mission that we get to go on, Jesus? And Jesus says, oh yeah, don't do anything yet. Not until the Holy Spirit comes. You need to wait on him. So Jesus wants to make it clear from the beginning that everything they do and everything we do is dependent upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So today I want to give you a few ways that the Holy Spirit empowers us. One way the Holy Spirit empowers us is he helps us when we are weak. In fact, it is only in weakness that we can really, truly experience the full extent of his power. As long as we consider ourselves to be strong enough, as long as we never put ourselves in a position of weakness or vulnerability, then we don't really get to experience his power completely. I mean, once in a while we might ask for help, right? But this is not the dependence that he is looking for. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 26, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That the Spirit's power is a demonstration that we are weak. Now, this might be a surprise to some people in the world today, but did you know that God doesn't really need your help? He never has, and he never will. We really bring nothing to the table that God needs. He doesn't need our talents. He actually is the one who gave them to you. He doesn't need our money. Actually, everything belongs to him. Our money is actually his, and he's letting us use it. God doesn't need our opinion. He doesn't need our counsel. God certainly doesn't need our permission for anything. God in himself really doesn't need anything from us. We have nothing to negotiate with. But hear this, because this is the beautiful aspect of God's love for us. Catch this. Because we typically think of any kind of relationship as some sort of negotiation, and even the purest form of human relationships, we have expectations, right? I mean, you know, you do this for me and I will do this for you. But catch this. God loves us. See, but God loves us even though we can't really offer him anything. And yet, for the relationship to work, we have to recognize our complete dependence on him and that we need him. And until we recognize our dependence on him, it doesn't work like it should. It just doesn't. That is hard for many, especially in this Western world, to comprehend, because we like our independence and we like positions of power, and we don't want to be the needy one in any relationship, do we? But the Holy Spirit's power shows up most dramatically in weakness. Why? Because it is during those times of weakness that we are most open to listening for help. And so this means that if you are finding yourself right now in a position of weakness, or you are right now in a position of being vulnerable, Maybe right now you feel stuck in life. Then you are in the perfect place to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And some of you, I know, really get this because maybe you've gone through something in life that you never want to go through that again. But when you were going through it, the Holy Spirit really revealed himself to you and you got to know him in an intimate way. But it wasn't until you were forced to be dependent upon him that you realized the power. The Holy Spirit's power was available to you. God's power is available to you. I know there are a number of you that can testify to this, whether it came about because of a hardship, an illness, a severe injury, or even loss of a spouse or a child. I know some of you have experienced the power of the Holy Spirit because you've shared some pretty amazing stories with me. You see, my friends, the power of the Holy Spirit is always available to us. Just maybe some of us haven't realized it before. Many people never tap into this power that is always available to us until things get really, really bad. And then some, well, they don't even do that then. Another thing we see in Scripture is that the Holy Spirit empowers you when he sanctifies you. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11 says, "But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." And sanctified is being made more and more like Jesus. It's not a matter of you trying hard enough to become like Jesus. It is a matter of you and I learning to walk in the Spirit and trust the Spirit to grow us into becoming more and more like Christ. He is the one who does the work in us and through us. It is the Spirit who helps lead us to be more like Jesus. And let me tell you, it is a powerful witness as this happens in the life of God's people. Maybe people saw firsthand how you used to struggle with anger, but now you respond in gentleness. Maybe you used to be demanding, but now you are more patient. Maybe you used to be constantly on edge, but now you have a peace about you. Maybe you used to act impulsively, but now you demonstrate self-control. The Spirit does this in us as we allow him. And these are powerful indications that the Holy Spirit is at work in us. And it is a powerful witness. Next, the Holy Spirit empowers us by helping us to know God's will. Jesus tells us in John 14:26 this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and will remind you of all that I said to you." And so the Holy Spirit, he counsels us. He directs us. He guides us. Many people want to know what God's will for their life is. Well, you see, it's less of a revelation and more of a relationship. Understanding God's will for your life really comes about by keeping in step with the Spirit so that we find ourselves in line with the will of God. And we can see this throughout the New Testament. In the book of Acts, the New Testament church is being guided by the Holy Spirit. And you will find in the book of Acts the Holy Spirit being mentioned more than 50 times. The Holy Spirit is directing and guiding the early church. The early church was keeping in step with the Spirit. And as individuals and as a church, it should be our desire to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. And you know, sometimes in both cases, it might require us to step outside of our comfort zones. But we should desire to stay in step with the Holy Spirit even when we are being called outside of those comfort zones. The Holy Spirit also shows his power by giving us gifts for others. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about some of the gifts of the Spirit, and he talks about the church in Corinth and how they were misusing them. They were using the gifts of the Holy Spirit as a way to create a class system within the church. So they were dividing each other up based upon the gifts that they had been given, which is ridiculous because the whole point of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives is to bring unity in the church. It is for the good of other people. You see, the Holy Spirit is not in the business of drawing attention to you. The Holy Spirit desires to give gifts to people to bring unity and to be a blessing to others. And so Paul says this to the church in Corinth, beginning in verse 4. He says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. So Paul is saying, hey, look, there is no room for pride or self-righteousness based upon the gift that you have been given. He's saying, you have been given a gift. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't pay for it. You didn't even choose it. The Spirit chose it for you. You should be humbled by that. You know, what we should do is simply pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit fills us and gives us whatever gifts He wants us to have for the good of others. We also see that the Holy Spirit empowers us when He calls us to salvation. I would argue that this is the greatest demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is calling someone to salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So every time someone says Jesus is Lord is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit working within that person. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So if a loved one in your life has not confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, all you can really do is pray for that person. Because the reality is only the Holy Spirit can reveal that to that person. Only the Holy Spirit can lead that person to a confession. I mean, we can do our part in trying to be good witnesses, and we should certainly be praying, but the Holy Spirit is the one who does the convicting. So as a church, it should be our prayer that the greatest demonstration of the Holy Spirit would be in people responding to the gospel. And you know, one of the things I've been praying for recently is not just for the Lord to fill me continually with His Holy Spirit, but Lord, help me experience the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I know I've received the Holy Spirit, and I know that I'm being filled continually with the Holy Spirit, but I sometimes think that I miss out on experiencing His power because I don't always put myself in places where I'm dependent upon Him. I, like most people, don't like being dependent. I don't like being vulnerable. So I pray, fill me with your Spirit and allow me to experience your power. And I know that is a dangerous prayer, because inevitably, God is going to put me in a position of weakness. He is. Let me give you an example of when this happened in the past. When I lived in Logansport, I was asked to go and share a message with a group of people that were living in a place called the Emmaus House. It was a homeless shelter. And while the person leading the worship was leading us through some songs, I heard God saying to me through the Holy Spirit, "Tom, these are my children, and I love them. Make sure that they know that before you leave." I started thinking, you know, what am I going to say? Because that wasn't the exact topic of what I had planned to talk about. And then the Holy Spirit brought Romans 8:16 to mind. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." The Spirit said, "Tom, you talk and I will do the work. You tell them that they are my children and I love them, and I will make sure that they know it." Okay, God, deal. I'm not going to argue with God. And I started saying, "Dear children of God," and I continued talking to them about their identity in Christ and God's great love for them and about being adopted into his family and that they were heirs of the inheritance that awaits in heaven and that the hope that they and the hope that they have. And after I was finished speaking, the person leading worship played the final song that was chosen prior to knowing what I was preaching on, prior to even me knowing what I was preaching on. And it was, "Good, Good Father. You are a good, good father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I am loved by you. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm not going to torture you with any more of my singing." But how many of you have heard that song before? If you haven't, I recommend listening to it sometime. But how fitting. Wow. That was completely the power of the Holy Spirit working in me and through me to bring glory to him and to affect others. I was being used as a tool for the Holy Spirit. And he wants to use each of you as well, if you will let him. Amen.